Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
One.
Two.
Three.
Everybody, well, why? Why did you guys do it like that?
I just follow Seth. I don't know.
Yeah,
I Zach
know.
Always follows my pattern.
Oh, yeah. God. You guys... It's like I'm fucking the babysitter and I'm just, I got myself in way over my head. Like, that's...
Mom and Dad always let us play with the knives. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Are you sure that you can have cocaine before bed?
Yeah.
My name is Brandon Cronenberg and I need...
Oh, my name's also Brandon Cronenberg.
I need the keys to the gun safe.
We had very absentee parents. They named us the same name.
What filmmaker would be the babysitter of Baby Brandon Cronenberg, who is just just shit upon by this kid? Because it might be someone, I'm not trying to transition us into the episode already, it might be someone like the director of this week's movie, I think.
Wait, who's
like
that?
Like a real Donald Petrie, a real journeyman, mostly TV kind of guy. Yeah,
sure.
I imagine a future where John Carpenter has to be the babysitter.
those kids are dead in 5 minutes.
What if John Carpenter babysat Baby Boy and Cronenberg's, and that's what inspired Halloween?
There we go. Yeah, he's just like, I want to murder everything.
Yeah. Oh, he's the Michael in this scenario, not the Laurie. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I started off as Laurie and I ended up as Michael. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then I wrote a ripping synth score for this.
Yeah. Yeah. There was just a Vice video that came out like 2 days ago, and it was like in appreciation of John Carpenter's career. Oh. And it was like a 20-minute like career retrospective. And the thing about it that really stood out to me, a John Carpenter fan, is how many very simple, fact-checkable things were wrong. Just fully incorrect. Like this movie directed by this person inspired John Carpenter. That's not the person who directed that movie. Like, was very easy to check. Like,
that's the easy part of that fact, yeah.
And like, after finishing this movie, his... directly next movie was this. He made 3 movies in between those two.
Yeah,
I understand that you're like condensing the timeline and hitting on the like big famous ones, but that goes beyond pedantic, I think. Like, I feel like that's just bad writing.
You could have seen the eyes of Laura Marzer in there somewhere.
Well, they didn't even acknowledge the pre-Halloween stuff. Well, they did. They did Assault on Precinct 13 and a little bit about Dark Star, which...
Wait, what's that one on Mars? What's the last one? The shitty one?
Oh, Ghosts of Mars? I don't like Ghosts of Mars.
Ooh, oh, no, it's tough, trash because he barely was involved, but still.
Man. Ghosts of Mars is like... I think it's the third time he's remade Rio Bravo, which is kind of funny, but like,
yeah, that is true. Yeah, strange. it's a holdout against a force with a fort. You have a fort.
Yeah.
It's just they were goopier than normal antagonists this time
versus the first time he does it, Assault on Precinct 13, which is great. Fucking rules. It's so good.
People aren't that goopy in that one.
No, not at all. Even the one guy driving around in an ice cream truck, there's no goop.
Yeah, wow. There's just child murder.
Yes, he does shoot a little girl. Yeah
Straight up.
Fine. Yeah, anyway, the last thing in,
it's like
what I did like about the video. Two things. Keith David was in it and he looked incredible. The nicest suit I've ever seen, just covered in jewelry, talking about like, people didn't even know how much important to the future this was. It's like, I'm Keith David. Listen,
that's
how
a
awesome
pretty
I am.
Good like, Keith David. Yeah. Like, just yeah. a couple
I,
of your words
I
there.
I started, and then I thought maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah, there was a little bit. Yeah. It reminded me of that like Community episode, the where he did the voiceover for Pillows and Blankets or something,
right? Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he was on the show.
He was on the show in the sixth season, I want to say.
Yeah, but, I think it was the it was the Amazon season or the Yahoo season. Anyway, the other thing is the last bit of the last thing that happens in this
Unicorn
22-minute retrospective.
Der Einhorn, the famous film.
The last thing that John Carpenter says in this video is, "Hey guys, can we end this? I gotta go meet my drug dealer." And that's hard cut to the end.
Gotta play some basketball video games, famously. Yeah.
Oh, he fucking loves video games. He loves weed. Yeah. He loves playing synths on tour with his son. And I'm like, you know what? Good for him.
That's doing the right shit. Yeah.
Like, if you have the money to just be able to live a life like that, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, you accomplished all your shit. You're like, I had a great career. What the fuck else? He did the Tarantino thing, but he actually did it. He's like, I'm done. That's it.
I've seen him on numerous occasions.
I don't need to make another foot movie.
Right.
Yeah, right.
He can't be stopped. Yeah.
I've seen him on numerous occasions, Carpenter, in interviews, be like, yeah, they asked me if they can license X property. And I was like, yeah, how much are you going to pay me? And they tell me how much. And I say yes or no based on how much they're going to pay me. And it's like, that's it. Like, I don't care.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. I can respect that.
Yeah.
He also, there was also, I've always.
Give a shit about legacy. People can fuck it up. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, because he's like fan of journeyman directors. So, like, that's his whole deal is like, it's a job.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of times over the years, like one of the things I've had a hard time with is like apparently at one point he was like a fairly libertarian type guy.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
And like one of his big reputations is like, oh, he's such a fucking, he hates people so much. He's so pessimistic about humans. And he's sitting there and they're talking to him. He's like, I have this reputation about being pessimistic about humans. And he's like, I'm pessimistic about humans in the 80s and 90s and to a lesser extent now, but I think younger people are getting better. That's what I think about the world. It's like, it's nice to hear that he's not just like,
he didn't stick
he's not
as
a grouchy old
80s guy.
Like, well, I bought my guns and that's all I need. Like,
I mean, for any old, but let alone him who is famously sort of off-putting to most people. I'm surprised that's his take on the youths of today, but good for him.
I think he just likes to play video games and be alone, you know? That's
That's fair.
So this is Faking Movies. I realize I didn't ever get that out.
Man.
You know, I think it's fine that we have a Carpenter sidebar. Like, we've done so many Carpenter
movies. It's been a
while.
We gotta keep abreast of the Carpenter.
We ran out. Or did we?
Maybe.
I think I haven't looked at any of his lists of movies, so I'm keeping the hope alive.
Good.
This is 268. We're on the precipice of a number. You know, I don't think we did anything special for 169
or 69.
No,
yeah,
I also don't think so. 69, we did Star Trek for the Voyage
Home. We did my favorite
of the show, Sarah, because it was Seth's favorite movie.
Yeah,
that's a really good call on our part. Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, this is a little teaser for the end of the episode when we're going to announce our special episode for 269, which came to me in a wash in a booze soaked dream somewhat while I was watching a movie last week. And my friends here and our good friend Marielle thought, hey, that sounds fun. Stay tuned. We'll tell you what that is at the end.
Been a while since we did a Goof 'em Up, so it'd be great.
So we'll get to that. I mean, so I'm faking a movie this week, I guess, because none of you are going to transition, you fucking assholes.
Well, you know. Let it flow, but sure, we can get to your movie, Seth. It's called My Life in Ruins.
Wow. Stole the thunder.
Yeah, it is.
All right, no, stop. Seriously, we can't have this much dead air. This is impossible. I don't know what kind of bit you're doing. We cannot do this because I can see your face. I can see your face, and I know it's a bit.
It's funny how all in the span of 3 seconds, I did exactly the same thing. I was like, oh, he's really going to do it. And I was like, well, this is uncomfortable. And then at like 2.5 seconds, I went, oh, I guess we're just going to do it then again. Okay.
That was so wild. This week.
You want to talk about the movie you're faking this week?
I sure do. Okay. It's called My Life in Ruins. And it has Nia Vardalos.
Vardalos.
Okay. Apparently Richard Dreyfuss, Rachel Dratch.
this is great because when we put the cast list together, and by the way, this is the way it appears on IMDb. Zach also cracked up at the idea of reading Richard Dreyfuss and Rachel Dratch's names next to one another.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys are such assholes about Rachel Dratch.
It's fitting for this movie, but she is great. And has certainly come into her own even more recently.
Right. Like, I really like Rachel Dratch. It's just the juxtaposition between these.
You imagine Richard Dreyfuss sitting at home in the dark with his laptop with this IMDb page up, just going, I can't fucking believe it.
I understand not getting villain over Vardalos, but
there it is,
Rachel Dratch.
That's exactly the voice.
Extra stink on that.
Yeah. No, he's not wrong.
I was doing Rachel Dratch's impression of Richard Dreyfuss.
She has one.
Oh yeah.
100%. Yeah, so we have Nia Vardalos, right?
Vardalos.
Richard Dreyfuss, Rachel Dratch, Harlan Williams, which I'm very excited for.
The Rocket Man himself.
And then you guys didn't edit it out, and it says maybe Rita Wilson.
She's in it.
Lee mentioned that as well.
Obviously, the maybe was referring to should we give him Rita Wilson as well.
No, interpret it as you'd like. You can use her or not.
To be fair, I used her as an afterthought also. So.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Much,
interesting.
Much like the movie.
Okay, so.
I think it's mostly because she produced it, and I'll get into that later. I think she produced it and was like, oh, is there a role for me in this as well? Wink, 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 wink. And that's it feels a lot like that to me.
It was forced. That's for goddamn sure.
Well, speaking of forced, here's my movie, but I'm going to preface this fella as Lee drinks a natty light peach flavor.
It's a natter day, natty light strawberry lemonade natter day.
Gross. Oh. Okay.
It's Labor Day weekend, baby.
That's true. It is at time of record. Regardless, fellas.
That's a legally valid excuse.
Oh my God, I almost forgot before we get started. Sorry. Speaking of labor.
I wasn't all ramped up or anything.
Friend of the show, friend of the life, former boss, Aaron.
Oh,
wanted to give a shout out and send a congratulations on your career transition. Congrats, man.
Two months ago.
Well, but you know, it'll be a nice recording. I found out yesterday, so
sure.
No, that is great.
Congrats, Aaron, on getting out of that cesspool.
The old mines, as they
the Chino mines. Yeah,
yeah,
sure. The Chino mines.
Woof.
I may or may not be wearing two articles of clothing from that place right now.
You gotta do Playboy. If mine still fit, I would be too. So
it's because I fucking do pseudo business shit now, so I have to like have a pseudo professional wardrobe.
I
did wear this to work today, and that was literally the first thing that everyone on my call said was they said something about my shirt, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. I usually just wear like normal t-shirts on these calls. Like,
who cares? It's fine.
Instead,
no, I was like, oh yeah, this is how
like
I dress
how I
all the time.
Do. Also, congrats to Lee on having a job again.
And I worked it for 5 days, which is two more days than the last job I had. So.
True. Yep. New high score. Precisely. Always good.
And also, congrats to me on making a Mai Tai tonight and not dropping it while trying to pick it up like I did the other day.
That was embarrassing. I have to say.
That's a little behind the scenes story. Yeah. That's actually the whole story. I dropped it.
Yeah, it slipped because the glass was so cold and
frosty. Yeah, that was really sad.
Okay, so
Seth's faking a movie.
Oh, Zach
Let's
is
hope.
Losing his goddamn mind.
antagonism. This is our show's backbone.
It's true. Well, get ready. Well, welcome to the Thunderdome, assholes. But
there you go.
Do not interrupt me this time. It's not very important here. That you don't interrupt me, despite...
Lee isn't looking accused, he's looking skeptical, which is a weird emotion for that statement.
All right, so this
he's got a look on his face like, yeah, sure, fuck you, bud.
Hey, that's what I was going for.
Yeah. Or at least don't guess the ending.
Okay.
That's equally difficult, I think.
If I feel compelled, I will type it to Zach.
Yeah, you can do that. You can make like a little squeaky noise or whatever.
I've got a piece of paper. I've got a pen.
There you go. Old school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that seems a little too far for this, and it kind of ruins my bit. So, like, go ahead. Whatever. Anyway.
Wait, so now I'm allowed to ruin your story?
No, you're not.
No one ever said that.
But I want you to struggle. So, my life in ruins. It is the interbellum period in the early mid 20th century, and we open on Mia Vardalos sneaking into some kind of Incan ruin to recover an important artifact. And there are all kinds of booby traps, and she managed to skillfully get to the sort of like gold and jade laden face mask and then escape from the ruins.
Is this about the archaeologist that Indiana Jones is based on?
Shush!
That was like 37 seconds. Yeah, my dude. God.
And she gets by, you know, she manages to grab the mask, just by the skin of her teeth, only to have Richard Dreyfuss to be waiting just outside of the ruins entrance and snatch it from her. This happens so often to Mia. She is frustrated, but you know, Richard's an asshole.
Is she gonna get chased by a bunch of natives and then jump on a plane where there's a snake in the plane?
No.
Is the snake gonna be my pet snake, Reggie?
Well, Mia returns to her job as a professor at Flyover State University, where just after teaching a class,
what biblical relic is she gonna be asked to find next?
She is approached by a couple of government agents who tell her that not only is Richard Dreyfuss an asshole, he's working for Mussolini. And that Richard Dreyfuss is traipsing around the world collecting artifacts that Mussolini thinks will help him hold on to power and make the trains run on time better. Mm. And, you know, one such artifact is the Spear of Destiny. Mia agrees to help stop Richard Dreyfuss from collecting more artifacts. Somehow, we get to a few weeks later, and Mia is in Mongolia, where she's meeting with her ex.
Is her Harlan old flame Williams. Having a drinking contest with some of the locals?
Harlan Williams may or may not be drinking a bunch of kumis with or some other fermented milk product with a bunch of locals. And you see, Mia came here because Harlan Williams' mother was a famous archaeologist and taught him everything she knows. As Mia is trying to convince Harlan to join her in trying to stop Richard Dreyfuss from helping Mussolini, they are attacked by a bunch of Italian agents. And during the scuffle, they burn down Harlan's prized Mongolian barbecue.
That actually fits. I could see that happening.
Yeah. I really could see that happening. Yeah.
After that, Harlan has nowhere to go but to help Mia stop Richard Dreyfuss and locate the spear for the good old U.S. of A. Using one of Harlan's old notebooks, they are taken to Morocco, where they meet up with Mia's old friend, Rachel Dratch, who runs a cafe near Marrakesh. So Mia and Harlan,
City of the Living.
Yeah, and they're at Mia and Harlan are there. Rach's Cafe, which is sort of their base of operations in Morocco. Mm-hmm. Through vigorous research, they learn that the spear is located somewhere in the Atlas Mountains. So they go to find it in Tizitika, which is a ruin in the Atlas Mountains, which is a bit further inland, you know, that sort of stuff. And as they arrive at Tizitika, they see that the Italians have beaten them to it. And, you know, but the Italians' research was faulty, because the... I don't know.
Was there a burn mark involved on someone's palm?
Let's assume so. And they are, quote, searching in the wrong ruins, they all say simultaneously together. And they begin to search the nearby ruins, and after a few scuffles and searching a building that is literally completely filled with lizards, they find a piece of the Spear of Destiny. Rachel leaves for some reason, and then Harlan and Mia emerge from the lizard house to have Richard Dreyfuss show up out of nowhere and snatch the spear away from our heroes, and of course capture them. Richard and the Italians transport Mia and Harlan to the island of Corsica, where Richard Dreyfuss explains through exposition that the other two parts of the spear... are there, and they're gonna combine them using some kind of crazy Roman ritual. Me and Harlan are tied to some railroad tracks because, you know, the train always needs to run on time. And Richard and his Italian cronies begin the ceremony. Mia tells Harlan not to listen and to make weird whale noises so that they can't hear the words that are being said. Suddenly,
I like that you worked in a down periscope reference. That's
sure did. Suddenly, the spear erupts into 100 of phantom elephants from the lost Hannibal's March Over the Alps. The elephants from that. Mm-hmm. And they gore Richard. And it's very, very gross.
People remember it to this day as a formative moment in their childhood.
Yeah, you see everything. Sure. Anyway, Mia and Richard pick up the pieces of the spear through the gore and juices, and they return to Flyover State University, where they are met by Rita Wilson, who confiscates the spear pieces and takes them and puts them to a... She's going to send them to a secure location, maybe, but using three different capsules from, like, those pneumatic tubes that banks used to use to, like, move money.
Still do.
Mia.
Still do.
Do they? Yeah. Jeez, oh, I haven't used a physical bank in a long time.
Source used to work in one, but
Well, anyway, after Rita departs, Harlan asks Mia, what are we going to do now? We save the world. What are we going to do? To which Mia responds, well, my life in ruins. Might as well keep adventuring. And then they wander off down a very beige, gray, ish hallway, like you see at many, many universities, and into our dreams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, did you put a plot outline of Raiders of the Lost Ark into Google Translate and translate it into another language, and then translate it back to English, and then gender swap? Zach, did you not know that's what he was doing?
No. My comment was going to be, now this is a strategy in 267 episodes we've never seen before. And don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
not even from like a guest, I don't think.
I guess I'm just going to go out. I'm just going to go. It's like, I love Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's it's
great. Movies, so I'll give you a 10. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
I like that her tagline at the end of the movie is My Life in Ruins. Like, it'd be cool if. You know,
if Indy's tagline was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, just straight down the barrel, you know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Hey,
like,
Marion. Oh, we really are the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Let me buy a drink, Jones.
Yeah. And she's like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
Yeah.
Like, we found the ark.
Crash a plane into your backyard or something.
It's not lost anymore. Why are you calling us the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Also, we didn't raid anything, but cool. Cool.
Yeah, the Nazis are really the Raiders.
Yeah. In my case, they were just Italian fascists. They are just...
No, I understand. I was talking about the regular movie. Yeah.
Well, my movie is unique and interesting in its own regards. So
honestly, like, probably not legally distinct. You'd get sued over that for sure.
There's no way you win this case. It's like, remember when you used to go to like Blockbuster and they had a whole wall of movies that were just like sound-alike movies?
Yeah, right. Mm. Like Transmorphers. Yeah.
Right.
Which was probably a porno, let's be honest.
At Blockbuster.
Well, it was behind that bead. Have
porno?
It
I think behind one of those big... beads,
yeah. Regardless, guys, cards on the table. I couldn't come up with anything, so I replicated a famous movie.
Yeah, we know.
You're saying cards on the table, guys. That was actually the plot of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
When you said previously that you had an idea, you sounded, again, excited, like it was a new one, maybe. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, Fair enough. Say, Zach, it's an extra crispy living strategy. So
it is. Haven't seen it before. Yep. There's that.
It's rare that we find something new in this show.
Wait, that's not 100% true. Lee did that Star Wars one that one time.
Oh, fuck, remember you. that Star Wars one? What was that, Phantasm 3 or some shit? I don't know.
No, it was Holes.
Oh, yeah, you did just write Star Wars for that. I forgot about how much you episode just wrote Star Wars. Still
catching shit for that. Like, yeah. I did not.
That was... by far the most contentious episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
really, you were struck down by a jury of your peers. Turns
maybe.
Out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't.
That's if I consider you guys my peers. In this case, I do not, because you're mean to me.
Hey, at least I was intentional in my sort of situation.
True. I am
not hiding it.
So yeah. Mad. So fucking livid right now.
Well, at that note, Lee, please tell us about the real movie or somebody, whoever is telling
Zach, you
me
got
about
the IMDb up?
I do. Yeah.
I got you guys so good. I was so clever. I'm so tired.
How many words did it take me before I realized what?
Not many. Your face started to turn, and then you lasted another 20 seconds before you just had to get in there. Yeah.
You were definitely maybe two sentences into this
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, like real movie. The interbellum period maybe could have tipped you off.
I was immediately confused by that, but yeah, okay. Now it makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. A disgruntled tour guide.
I did copy down the IMDb summary of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly. Well, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it.
And then just change some stuff.
Yeah.
So
we know.
Right. Yeah. We were here.
We were here just now.
Are you sure? Do you want me to explain it again?
No, pretty sure we got it. Yep.
All right. Well, tell me about my life in ruins, I guess.
Yep. A disgruntled tour guide in Greece gains an unexpected new outlook on life thanks to one of the people on what she intends to be her last tour.
What the fuck was the grammar? All right,
I'll give you a slightly longer thing.
Blasted my brain.
Is she dying?
No.
No.
She just hates it. Yeah, Nia Vardalos is a tour guide in Greece, and it's because she lost her job teaching at the university and just has no money.
Oh, at Flyover... city state
and she
flyover and she, city state university gosh, of Athens.
I was trying to get through what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
And anyway, she's gonna quit because she hates it, and there's another tour guide that seems to get all the best Detroit style get all the best assignments and the best tour groups and everything. And anyway,
yeah,
she sends a resignation letter and then goes off on her tour, and her tour is full of all the reject people as far as she's concerned, which include, of course, Richard Dreyfuss, Rachel Dratch, Harlan Williams. Rachel and Harlan are a married couple, and then a bunch of other randos.
It's our real slobs against
a little. There's a little bit of that. Anyway, she goes on this tour, and she's the whole thing is her boss is always like, the reason that all the other tours like this other guy, even though you don't think he knows as much as you, is because he's engaging and they enjoy him. And she learns how to be more engaging because of Richard Dreyfuss teaching her how to, like, enjoy life a little bit and not be such a pain in the ass. And
wait.
They get into a bunch of hijinks.
Richard Dreyfuss?
It
convinces her how to be more free and not be a pain in the ass.
I know.
It doesn't fit at all.
It's a little baffling, but continue.
They get into a lot of the tour Greece. They get into a lot of hijinks and stuff with the other tour group.
Does anybody light some cheese on fire and then catch their hair on fire?
No.
Oh.
Dreyfus eventually ends up in the hospital after he has a threesome with two of the ladies on the tour group.
Yeah.
And
that's in his rider. That wasn't an original plot point.
But also, like, Nia Vardalos gets through to the tour group and, like, gets to teach them about Greece. And it's everybody's having a great time. And they go to see Richard Dreyfuss in the hospital. And everybody's all happy. And they're, like, one big happy family. And then the other guy, the other tour guide, ends up quitting. Because it turns out he actually sucked at being a tour guide. And Nia Vardalos' boss is like, hey, I always liked you better. You should stick around. And she decides to stick around. And also she starts dating the bus driver, whose name is hilariously Poopy.
Poopy Kaka. Yep. Full name. Yeah, it's a lot.
Just a handsome Greek man with a beard.
That sounds like a very short summary of the movie, but that is the movie. There's a lot of extra shit, but none of it
fucking
matters.
Like they said, there's quite a few hijinks.
A lot of hijinks. None of them particularly fun. They're all just like, okay, fine.
Wow, sounds like it's a bummer all around. My movie, this kinda movie, everything sucks.
Well,
the thing about this movie, Zach. Yeah, Zach. What kind of notes you got? Notes.
These are all very stream of conscious because I was like half watching.
Perfect.
Nia Vardalos is Bobo Kathy Najimy, or maybe it's the other way around.
She is not the full Najimy. That is true.
Yeah, she seems junior to her senior. That
word,
Bobo.
Isn't that a problem?
No, it's a derivative of some like longer French term for like.
Good to know. Thank God.
Yeah, it's like it's some French term for knockoff, I think.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that for sure. Because I have it again in the next sentence.
I think
Tom Jane of Hung and other things is Bobo Pupikaka.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you saying that the guy who plays Poopy looks like Tom Jane? Are you saying that Tom Jane is a lesser version of this guy?
Yeah. Both. Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
The Greek guy in this movie is like a much more handsome Tom Jane, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
Heard. Yeah.
And I think this back. Always.
Being a real Tom Jane.
Yeah. This movie I think is a Bobo Eat Pray Love. So the whole thing is just ripped off from other shit.
Do
you think Poopy Butthole or whatever his name was would do well against a shark in like a deep blue sea sort of situation? Or?
No, but Tom Jane doesn't either, right?
He gets a shit rock, doesn't he?
No, he makes it to the end. It's him and LL Cool J at the end because it was supposed to be. I can't remember the actress who's in the movie.
Main scientist lady.
Yeah, she was supposed to. Saffron Burrows. She was supposed to survive, and the test audiences hated her so much that they refilmed the ending, and it was just Tom Jane and LL Cool J sitting on the little underwater scaffolding waiting to be rescued.
Weird finish. I agree. Surely this movie alone set back guided tour packages several decades, because it looks like the fucking pits. Even when they're having a good time, this is not my experience with guided tours. Mine was great, and this one sucks.
So, for instance, as far as guided tours go, the Greek government has only allowed two films to ever film at the Acropolis.
Yep.
And this is one of them. And the reason they did is because Nia Vardalos personally petitioned them, and they thought, you know what, it'll be good for guided tours. And our economy doesn't exist anymore, because this movie's from 2009.
Yes.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Due in no small part to this movie, one presumes, green screen work was...
You're blaming the collapse of the Greek economy on the movie My Life in Ruins.
Yeah, I can see that.
For
description I've heard so far, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, tracks. And Werner Herzog is propping up the entire EU, one presumes. I don't know.
He's going to be in this town I live in soon.
You mentioned. That seems like a Q&A from him could be kind of wild.
I got a wedding that weekend.
Shame, but all right. Green screen work is horrendous. Inside the bus shots are like exactly the quality you would expect, but the stuff they plastered on the outside scenery looks like it was shot with the moon landing camera. Like, it's amazing how bad that shit was.
I love that. I'd also like to point out that I thought you said inside the butt shots.
I also heard that, but then I was like, no, he can't have meant inside the butt shots.
Yeah. For poopy caca.
Apparently the script was written by a guy who traveled a bunch to Greece and then reworked by Nia Vardalos, but it feels like it was written by a 9-year-old. Richard Dreyfuss's wife is dead. That's a fairly meaningful plot point.
I kind of forgot about that, because that's who Rita Wilson plays.
Yeah.
She plays his wife in a flashback.
The literal ghost of Rita Wilson is in this movie. Oh. Yeah.
Mm. You're right. It's not even a flashback. It's her ghost telling him to, like,
fuck.
Live. Like,
yeah, do your thing.
And, yeah, and then he goes and fucks these ladies.
Yep. Yeah. Almost kills him.
Alright.
Bad Rita Wilson ghost, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, like, when they reveal this, Nia's like mad at Richard Dreyfuss at this early point in the movie, and he's like, wish my wife could be here, and then they do a zoom into her face and she goes realizing that his wife is dead, and I was like, oh my god, this is like a high school play or some shit. Like, it's so
like a high school play written by a high schooler.
Yeah, holy shit. It's okay, guys, unbelievable.
Can I really weird sidebar?
Can we do this? Can we put on this play?
When I was in high school,
yes, Black Box
with
Theater,
several friends of the show. Friend of the show, Jess, was in the drama club. Uh-huh. And so I used to go to some of the drama club shows. And my school wouldn't pay the licensing fees to, like, put on real plays. So the drama club administrator, who I'm pretty sure wasn't even a teacher, it was just an adult from the, like, someone's relative.
That's weird.
Yeah, someone's relative used to write all the plays they performed.
Were they like Seth's movie?
Yeah, I was going to say, was it just like mine, except like vaguely gender swapped and then in a different slight location?
Well, you're saying it felt like a high school, like the reveal felt like a high school play. And this gave me this incredible sense memory of going to this one play, and it was a one act, two person thing. And it was one of our friends.
What?
And she was, it wasn't friends of Jess, it was a friend of ours from high school, and she was like the lead actress. And the premise was her having like a mental breakdown and talking to her imaginary friend in her bedroom. And at some point during the play, the lighting changes and it's like just a spotlight on the imaginary friend. And he just gets up on stage and he goes, "You think you have it all figured out, but I've got news for you. You're on heroin." And that was the twist of the play.
Wow.
And this is, and I'm realizing
that
right now,
that play.
My Life in Ruins is the same thing as this play.
It for sure is.
That
exactly
is, that is my new favorite play of all time.
Yeah, that is really something. I bet a bunch of parents are like half sleeping or just like, oh, heroin. Yeah, okay.
Oh, good job, honey. That was really great. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that was a real weird sidebar.
No, that was great.
That's like my new favorite play of all time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, let's revive
replacing.
That one. Can
Uncle
we do that?
Vanya. Yeah. It's it's no longer Dyadya Vanya, or Three Seagulls or whatever.
the Seagull?
Oh, The Seagull, yeah. It's Three Sisters.
Right.
Three Sistra.
Yeah. Cherry Orchard. Let's just name more plays.
Just Chekhov ones or?
Go Wild.
Oh, jeez. Are we just going to name every play in existence?
A Master Builder.
Oh, no. Not that.
The Doll's House. We're on an Ibsen spiral.
Death of a Salesman.
The Crucible. Arthur Miller.
We just Arthur Miller ourselves down. Zach, you got any contributes?
Do you want to get back into the movie to save ourselves?
This
could go on
into the woods, up the down staircase,
into the woods,
and out of the woods.
Sundays in the Park with George.
The Pajama Game is, but that's a musical. But
So is Into the Woods.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It sure is.
Let's just do Sondheim's now.
I don't want to.
Wake me up later.
Wake me up inside.
Do, please do.
What if Sondheim wake wrote me up. Resistance musical?
I can't wake up. I mean,
maybe save it would sound a little something.
I hate you.
Wow, this is our worst episode. I know we say that sometimes, but this is definitely our worst episode.
It's a toughie. It's a toughie. Mm-hmm. All right. Again, stream of consciousness. Almost. I hate this. Almost no idea who the love interest is intended to be nearly halfway through the movie. This is labeled a romantic comedy on IMDb.
Ah, interesting.
They're almost hinting at Dreyfus, but also Poopy is the obvious choice, and maybe it's just the country of Greece. I'm honestly not sure.
Oh,
I mean, it's Poopy. It ends up being Poopy.
It is, but we get there way late. It's like, yeah. He's not all that. Again, it's kind of Ypres Love. It's a find yourself thing. Like, I don't think it's actually.
Yeah, the problem it's is find satisfaction in what you're doing. It's fine. Yeah. Figure out how to love. It's very much it's like the song when you can't be with the one you love the one you're with only about your job.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Your life situation, but kind of your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, these are very rapid fire. The second half of the movie lost me entirely.
Yeah.
Obligatory gay panic, even in a Europe movie. Yeah. Fun hotel hallway mess around scene where everybody been fucking. Mm-hmm. Which we kind of talked about.
Oh, like a now Benny there's... Hill sort of situation, or
doors, like lots of doors.
So. Everybody finding everybody sleeping with other people, and everybody just being like,
"Oh, okay,
okay."
Yeah. Wait, and then like crossing the hallway.
No, we don't go that far.
That's and then, it's 2009.
And then Scooby Doo shows no Yappity up, Sacks, and you're like, "Ruh-roh." Ruh-roh, yeah, Shaggy.
Wouldn't have been entirely out of place in this very dumb movie, but yeah.
Ruh-roh, Shaggy, I have a red more rocket. Interested.
Yeah, me too, me too. Gross. Now there's a bus heist, why not? Poopy
right,
caca.
They steal the air conditioning from one bus to put in the other bus.
I like that.
Nobody's
that
the wiser.
Exactly like every time I've been in that part of Europe.
Well, sure. But so much harder than just stealing the other bus. Just take the whole fucking bus. Like, what
I
are we
know,
doing?
Right? Just wake up early. Yeah. Yeah. It's in the same company. Just switch the keys.
Baffling. I don't know. Yeah. Poopy Kaka has a nephew named Duty Kaka. We didn't need it, but I'm glad it's there. Poopy's nips are way too close together.
You know what? Very you know important. What? You're right. You're right. It saved it for me. That gave
Really it's the like funny, not funny. Oh, and we're funny again. Okay.
It's the little things, yeah.
Yep, yep. Poopy's nips are way too close together. Rita's a ghost. Gator, the redneck kid, has the ducks fly together line in this movie. Never would have guessed that. He is not a character at all.
Oh, right. He gets everybody on the same page, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the soundtrack is horrendous. It's not from 2009. It's like all the worst stuff from 1990 until 2009, and it's all very bad. Yeah.
A couple other weird things.
It's not wait, so they don't play Break Me to Life by Evanescence, like we were referencing?
No, I can't be sure it's not in there.
Well, that's 2003.
There's a lot of clips of the more beloved movie Zorba the Greek in this movie. Like, there's multiple scenes where people are watching Zorba the Greek.
Sure.
That's just like I'm honestly shocked there wasn't just like a 10-minute sequence of someone sitting down. Hey, you mind if I love this scene? You mind if I just sit down and watch it with you?
Yep.
Like that feels like the kind of thing that would have happened in this movie.
For sure.
So okay, one thing I want to point out, Ian, I forget his
Mitch,
his
Mick Shane.
No.
McCallum.
That'd be fun.
No. Stop.
Dreyfus.
Ian Gomez.
Ian Dreyfus.
Who played he played Drew Carey's boss before former late night host
Craig Ferguson.
Played Drew Carey's boss before Craig Ferguson.
Craig.
He's in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. He's the like shitty friend of the guy she ends up marrying, who's the character whose name is Ian Miller. Ian Gomez is Nia Vardalos' real life ex-husband. He My Big Fat Greek Wedding is the story of her marrying him. That is the real life story. He's in this movie as well. He is in My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. He is not in My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3. This is why I want to do this movie, because that's coming out soon at recording time. Because they got divorced.
Yeah. And he didn't see that coming after being in and presumably watching My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Wait, which of them put chopsticks in their teeth to pretend to be a walrus?
Neither, but they both did the breadsticks at the same time. Also, Zach's right. I assume Nia divorced him.
Like, yeah, that would make sense.
Seems likely.
Nia's kind of a
Greek wedding case. He's after Ian Gomez.
No.
Greek wedding is, before this. Okay.
Greek wedding is like 2003.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
This is the year that Bring Me to Life came out by Evanescence.
Right. This is why. This is the whole Rita Wilson thing. So do you know... the story of My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
No,
sir. How it became a movie? Okay.
I assume Tom Hanks played a part.
Is from Toronto, I think. She's from Canada, I think Toronto.
By way of
So, like, the movie's set in Chicago because they were like, people in the U.S. won't understand Toronto.
Sure.
And they just randomly pick Chicago. Anyway, doesn't matter.
They don't know what the CN Tower is, but they do know what the Wilson building.
The Willis building.
Willis,
sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I fucked it up.
So, Nia Vardalos is in L.A., struggling actress. Rents out a black box theater to do her one woman show, which is a
motherfucker,
which is a monologue about her experience marrying Ian Gomez, non-Greek outsider coming into her family.
Yeah. Sure. All right.
And
if this ends in you announcing you are doing your one man show at a black box theater,
man, are you kidding me? That'd be so great, but no,
that would be. Wonderful. I am so excited for that. I'll go to whatever flyover state.
Yeah.
Hopefully a different one soon.
Knock on wood.
The way that this show became famous is she went around to all of the different Greek neighborhoods in LA and plastered all of the church bulletin boards with flyers for her one-woman show.
That's the way you do it.
This is like how Flamin' Hot Cheetos allegedly was invented, but apparently wasn't.
It's a weird whole thing. Anyway,
on Hulu.com.
Rita Wilson, whose first name is Margarita, because she's Greek.
Right.
Sure.
And, like, her family is apparently just as Greek as Nia Vardalos' family. Her family members... went to go see this one-woman show. I'm like, Rita, you got to see this one-woman show.
Huh.
So she drags Tom with her the second time she sees it, because she goes by herself the first time because Tom didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Then she drags Tom.
Sure.
Yeah.
He is too busy fucking a volleyball or whatever.
Yeah. And after the show, they get up and he's like, hey, I'm Tom Hanks. We're going to produce this as a movie. So that's how
the literal dream come true. Oh my god. That's a movie in of itself.
So Nia Vardalos, you know, adapts the screenplay, stars in it, and I forget who they were gonna cast, and then Rita Wilson's like, are you kidding me? It's Nia. She's obviously the only person who can play this. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's cool.
She gets nominated for a fucking Oscar for a screenplay that is not very good.
No.
It's a movie that is very entertaining that I watch a lot.
Mm. Sure.
So this creates a partnership between Nia Vardalos, Rita Wilson, and Tom Hanks that continues to this very day.
I was going to say, and this movie dissolved that partnership.
Every time Nia Vardalos wants to do something, Rita Wilson is in it, and Tom Hanks produces it. Yeah. And
which means Rita comes home and is like, Tom, can I have another $20 million? And he's like, fucking again?
what did Nia write this time? Which includes a movie that she did with Toni Collette where they play two showgirls on the run who pretend to be drag queens. I don't want to see this movie because I like Toni Collette too much to worry about how offensive it is.
I'm really confused by what's going on there. But
so eventually Rita Wilson options this script from, as Zach said, a guy who based it on his real life story and said, hey, Nia, give it that My Big Fat special sauce. And this is the fucking movie we get. And
she tried, I guess. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
She said she wanted to do it because she wanted to film a movie in her family's homeland. Well. And
I mean, Adam Sandler's been hanging out with his friends for 20 fucking years.
Canada, you mean?
Yeah, right? There's a lot of Greek immigrants in Canada. That's how we got Hawaiian pizza.
I know. I know the origin of Hawaiian pizza. Should we talk about it?
No. Well, we kind of just did, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sandler, last week, me and partner, the show my partner, watched Uncut Gems.
Oh, yeah.
Which stars Sandler. I hated it. Which stars Sandler and That's Idina fair. Menzel as his wife. And oh, tonight, we Idina put on that new bat mitzvah movie that stars both of his daughters. And oh. Sandler is in it, and Idina Menzel plays his wife. So it's this Adam Sandler, Idina Menzel spouse duology.
That's weird. He did a bunch with Drew Barrymore, too. I think he just does that thing. Yeah.
I think you're right. I have heard Drew say, like...
Yeah, there's stuff they did, about the Drew one. Yeah.
They did a wedding singer together, and and she was like, this was just so amazing. I'm so glad I got to work with you. Thank you for giving me a shot. Because this was when Drew was, like, in really bad shape as far as her career was concerned. And he was so, like... touched by what she said that he was like, anytime you want to be in one of my movies, just tell me.
Whenever you need some back taxes money or something.
Well, that's the like secret story, right? Is that Adam Sandler is helping.
Turns out he's like a good guy.
Yeah. Yes. And it's like helping people out of abusive relationships by giving them excuses.
That's a weird fan theory I read online that I told you about. But like he definitely does cast female actresses who like need to get out of like typecasting a lot of times, or like just need a, it's like Angela Lansbury populated Murder, She Wrote with her friends
precisely
whose SAG insurance were gonna was gonna lapse
like they that was needed the whole, to be in a credited scene or whatever. And
I think Sandler does this with like the C-tier folks that are in every single one of his movies but aren't really famous. He just keeps putting them in shit for like insurance and just for the paycheck.
Yeah, but then we end up with Netflix David just keeps Spade.
Handing him. No, he's like actually famous though. I think they just like are friends.
Yeah, but
David Spade gives a lot of money to the Phoenix police.
That's surprising. Does he live there?
He got he had a home invasion one time and like he just keeps pumping money to them for like, they came and they helped me out.
Didn't the Phoenix police murder somebody recently? If they probably did, because they're a police department.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least I assume so.
Dog, yeah. I've heard David Spade is... I've heard David Spade's like a super nice guy. Also does this thing, like, with stand-ups mostly.
Interesting.
Like, takes them on the road and, like, will pay them extremely well.
I thought
he had
turned out to be very, very conservative. I
Rob Schneider is the one who's a super
Rob is a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
By the way, we glossed over the guy who wrote this movie, Mike Reiss, is one of the Golden Age Simpson writers. He is like...
Four through ten,
Yeah, he is like one of the famous Simpson writers, producers, writer room guys. Like,
weird.
Yeah.
These fun facts are so much more fun than the movie.
And he actually is the main, I think he's the first billed screenwriter on the Simpsons movie, which is like, I know a lot of people consider it to be like the last good episode of the Simpsons, but I'm also hearing some good things about like the last two seasons, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it's on the upswing.
I haven't watched anything in quite a while, so.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of story. This movie was bad.
I feel like I went off on a thing and really, really took over this one.
You should have. Because there's nothing.
It much more like interesting than the real stuff.
I mean, Harlan Williams. He lost his. He lost his Mongolian barbecue. I don't really know.
Really sad.
What celebrity do Harlan Williams and Rachel Dratch's characters keep referring to Nia Vardalos as? They keep calling her the wrong name.
They call her Angie because they say she looks like Angelina Jolie, and then that joke comes back over and over because all the Greek people are like, what are you talking? She doesn't look anything like it. And it's a very hollow, stupid joke. I'm noticing now, I did write down another trivia that wasn't very interesting, and now is quite interesting.
You said
Nia Vardalos wanted to film a movie in Greece to go to where her homeland is. The trivia read simply, despite the fact that the film is set in Greece, most of it was filmed in Spain.
sure.
Which initially my thought was like, why? Like that can't be
why fucking bother?
Greece, but,
yeah, like,
because it's
like,
way easier to film any beach scene in Spain because they have a significantly less craggy beach.
I guess I meant, why bother make the movie?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If this was the only Nia goal, then like,
I was honestly just thinking about the geology of the situation, which is my default anytime I interact with anyone.
the beach is a weirdly important part of the plot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like a whole thing is like, we're gonna have a beach day today, everyone. That's like what the tour guide
throwing out the itinerary,
the ace that the tour guides have when things are going poorly. Yeah,
so
and the teen wants to go.
The volcanic nature of most of the parts of the Greek Isles result in the beaches not being that sandy and mostly being sharp volcanic rock everywhere.
That would have been tough for this movie. Yeah.
Freaking Hephaestus always getting rocks.
I know. What an asshole. It also makes it incredibly defensible to outsiders in case they're trying to invade you.
Sure enough.
Which is the main strategy that I believe Lord Byron used when he helped the Greeks retake their country.
Seth's blinking.
Lord, in the 1800s, when Greece had a war for independence from, I believe, the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
The head of their army was poet Lord Byron.
Byron.
Strange.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Who died in Greece while leading their naval forces to a decisive victory. And his heart was kept in Greece because that was...
They
thought he would want to be there.
What? Why did he decide to do this thing? That doesn't.
Because he was a fucking lunatic. Because he did crazy shit.
Yeah, sure. He was a straight up crazy person.
There are rumors that I believe are probably apocryphal, where like the Greek people like by sheer force of will were trying to get him to accept that the role of their king once the war was over, and it's like. Yeah, I don't think George Gordon would have been a good king. You know, he kind of fucked his daughter, literally, and had a pet bear.
Yeah,
like, you know, but... like
points against, points for. Okay. I think George that's the whole Gordon. Movie. Should we rate?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, fuck all else.
This is a shaggy fucking episode.
Well, I tried to argue that it was gonna be trash, but
we're gearing up for 269 Damn Look Fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a sexy episode. It's going to be a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. A lot more fun.
Yeah.
Budget was $17 million. Are you fucking kidding me?
Huh. Yeah. Right. Spain's expensive, I guess.
They say Spain is pretty. I've never been.
I've never been to Spain. Well done. All right.
I kind of like the music.
You have been to Spain though, haven't you? Like actually
recently. I have Seth not recently. It was
in the timeline of this show existing.
It was it was like 8 years ago, man.
Seth was in Spain in the era of this show where we put out an episode every week and we didn't miss an episode.
Yeah. Well, we were cronking him out then, yeah.
What the fuck was wrong with us?
Yeah, Seth, that was not 8 years ago. That was quite recent.
No, I was in Korea 8 years ago. I was in
That's true.
I remember was in Spain 5 years ago. Yeah,
Still never been.
I kind of like the music. People say I was born.
I like that we were quoting different songs. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always gonna quote Three Dog Night if I can afford it.
And I love Elton John, so. You know. $17 million budget.
Well, I've never been to heaven.
There's that old like saying of like, oh, the movie cost this much to make, and it's all on the screen. It's none of it.
I feel it like doesn't none of it sound like it screen. Is at all.
That moon landing camera was probably half of the budget, but did not help.
Oh, the moon landing camera to get like weird exterior shots of a bus.
Yep, so weird.
Cool.
No, box office. 20.5.
It made a
Tom lost money on that one.
Tom lost money. It did make about $6 million on the DVD market. So it still lost money.
Well, the cover, I mean, I guess it's white and blue, as is Big Fat Greek Wedding, naturally, but
it
the
is
cover...
explicitly made to look like My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Also in Italy, the title was changed to My Big Fat Greek Vacation.
I mean, why not? It's the same ish people. Like, well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But like My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 is literally the premise is the whole family goes on vacation to Greece. So like that movie is about to exist. Sure. And Nia Vardalos directed that.
Yeah. Well, she wanted a mulligan on this piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
It's true.
Yeah. Did not make good money. Yeah. It's just really boring.
You know, it's like, it's a shitty fucking movie when. when fucking Harlan Williams is in it, and I don't even remember Harlan Williams is like,
and Rachel Dratch. They're a power couple of comedy, but it is nothing. It's nothing going on in the actual.
Did you guys know Harlan Williams created some like shitty animated kids show that's like on Disney Plus, and he just like is raking in cash now?
Wow, that's dope.
Yeah,
very. I know he has awesome a, for him. Actually,
he has a podcast that I think he puts on YouTube too. And the gimmick is he's just like talking because he's him and can do that forever. But everyone, he takes a white T-shirt and draws like a cartoon or like some weird shit on it, and then auctions them off or sells them or something. It's like a fun little gimmicky thing. Yeah. Like,
how often does Sean Cullen guest on it?
Oh,
it's another name. Favorite Canadian comedian of mine.
Yeah.
Is that part of the Cullen clan from
it's not, but you know what movie we watched today?
Twilight. Like any night. Of the like uh-oh. Five Twilight movies. What?
No. Oh, that actually reminds me, I have a before we rate, I have a thing about that.
No, we watched that. Have to do with anything, but yeah. Go ahead.
Sean Cullen.
We watched that movie. Yeah. We watched that movie. That's so hot right now. Red, White, and Royal Blue, where the premise is the son of the American president and one of the British princes fall in love. It was pretty cute.
I think it's on the Zon, maybe. But
it is on the Zon, and the guy who plays the British prince, partner of the podcast, my partner, she said he looks like an AI. You prompted an AI to make Macaulay Culkin if he were a member of the Cullen family in Twilight. Look this guy up. That is what he looks like. Well, it is dead on.
They intended him to be of the British royal line, right? So like that sounds off-putting but also correct, I would say.
Yeah. Stephen Fry plays the king in it in one scene.
I love that. Yeah.
Okay, the reason I said hold on, I have a thing, re-Twilight. So this movie did get nominated for a Teen Choice Award in 2009.
The only nom it had, as what, I recall.
Was somebody so horny for Poopy Butthole or whatever?
I guess. Poopy Caca.
There is a hot teen in it for 4 seconds. Yeah.
So it got nominated for Choice Summer Movie, Romance. The nominees were...
How specific are the fucking Teen Choice Awards?
This is what I'm getting at, okay. My friend. Because I saw...
That's so many modifiers.
I saw Choice Summer Movie, Romance, on the Wikipedia page, and I clicked the 2009 Teen Choice Awards to follow it, and I scrolled down to Choice Movie, Romance. And I read the nominees, which were Australia, Confessions of a Shopaholic, Australia? He's Just Not That Into You,
wrong,
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2, and Twilight. And I said, wait a minute, and Twilight 1, I have seen all of those movies, and Twilight 1, and I said, wait a minute, My Life in Ruins isn't on that list. And then I scrolled down and realized it's because there's a whole second category for Choice Summer Movies, Romance.
This presumes like sort of factorial award number. It's got to be like 500
of them. In that?
So there's Choice, two categories. There's romance and summer romance.
Summer romance.
Are they all distinct? Is there overlap?
Well, they are all distinct. What I can tell, this is another list of movies where I've seen all of them. from what I can tell, it's not that they're like summer themed movies. It's just movies that came out in the summer. That's the difference.
the entire award season is bisected. Best movie of the summer for teens.
Also, were teens really into Australia? That seems unlikely.
Yeah, nobody was into Australia.
It's like my second least favorite Baz movie.
I mean, maybe I just to help them sleep before they have to get up for school at 6 in the goddamn morning like I did.
2019 ASMR. That makes sense.
Fair enough.
So, Choice, in the 2019 Choice Awards, Choice Summer Movie Romance, the nominees were Away We Go. I guess because John Krasinski's in it.
He was kind of the thing then.
I Love You, Beth Cooper. Which is explicitly a high school movie.
Yeah. And Brittany it had Hayden Panettiere and I don't know, like a Jay Baruchel type.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's not him, but he is a type of My Life in Ruins, a movie for
like 75
year old women.
It's Eat, Pray, Love. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. The Ugly Truth, a truly despicable movie.
I don't know
movie.
What that is.
That's Katherine Heigl and Gerard Butler.
Oh, right.
Well, already not promising. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the winner, a movie I saw in theaters with my mom, The Proposal. A movie that explicitly takes place in the middle of winter.
Fun.
In Alaska.
Oh.
Wait.
It's Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Right. Yeah. It's an R&R.
Yeah.
Yeah. I needed to talk about how fucking wild.
Yeah,
that was absolutely wild.
The logistics alone are confounding. I just don't understand.
Oh,
was it several days long, like a cricket match? Like,
this recently? But like, if I could get a filter, like a V chip, for Ryan Reynolds content. I would be so tired of that motherfucker.
Because you know you're gonna take some R&R and end up seeing
that soccer team better. Play or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's, I think he's fucking tired of himself because he's not in a ton of stuff. I think even he's like, I'm good. Hey,
by the way, guys, just in case you're wondering, so there's all these movie categories. I don't want to read all the categories, but just rest assured that there's two for everything. One of them is normal and one of them is summer. We also have TV. There are TV categories in the Teen Choice.
Fall, spring, and summer?
No, just summer and normal.
Okay. Why only summer?
I don't know. And there are also
because that's music when you're categories. Out there attempting to bone down. Take a little R&R. Yeah, watch R.I.P.D. and you get too depressed to move out of your bed because you watched R.I.P.D.
Yep, there's movies, TV, music, and miscellaneous categories.
Oh, I love miscellaneous. I love the mystery bag.
And everything except for miscellaneous has regular and summer breakdowns. The miscellaneous are just.
Oh.
Is miscellaneous conceptual? Is it like finger banging under the bleachers and tripling depression?
Is miscellaneous like, I watched the Ralph Bakshi Wizards from 1977.
Yeah. Or just like Tommy from math class or something. Like, how weird are we going
to
get?
I had to watch some
keyboard cleaner last week and it was kind of cool, I guess.
Right. Like, yeah, I choose that one. That sounds great.
I had to watch Pi in algebra class because my teacher was going through a divorce and was not available.
Yeah,
in eighth grade.
That's a weird thing, though.
Specifically,
I know there's math in Pi, but like, wow.
No, that's a thing that happened.
Doesn't end well.
That's a thing that.
No, I know it did.
We spent the
entirety story before,
or the last 2 weeks of eighth grade watching Pi.
Eighth grade.
So, yeah.
Poof. A movie that ends with someone tempanning themselves.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
To death. It's because it was a math movie, and Mrs. Blank. Was going through a divorce and was just not around.
It's tough.
Do you guys want me to read the miscellaneous categories or are we moving
on? 100% do it.
We're here.
I'm not going to tell you any of the if you need to know the winner of something, stop me, but I'm just going to read the category.
I'm going to read all of this on Wikipedia later,
for sure.
Okay. So here are the miscellaneous categories. Choice male hottie.
Okay.
Choice female hottie.
Okay.
Yep.
Choice comedian.
Okay.
Choice celebrity activist. Choice male athlete. Choice female athlete. Choice male action sports athlete.
Wait.
Choice female what? Action sports
Wait. What? What does that mean?
Wait a second. What is the distinction? But continue.
Choice female action sports athlete. Choice male red carpet fashion icon.
Okay.
Choice female red carpet fashion icon.
Okay, sure.
Choice celebrity pet.
Wait.
Choice.
No.
Wait, are celebrity spouses allowed in there?
I don't know, but I want to read you the names of these celebrity pets because some of them are pretty cool.
Okay.
Okay. Bo, which was the Obama family dog.
Yeah, sure.
Which, you know, I'm going to read the better ones last.
Some real 2008 bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to read the better ones last. Vida Blue, which was Ashton Kutcher's chihuahua, apparently.
All right, well, whatever.
Shadow, which was Vanessa Hudgens' poodle.
Oh, I was hoping it was Shadow from the hit film series Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound, yeah. Kitty Purry, which is apparently the name of Katie Perry's cat.
Easy winner.
Oh. Well, no, because Bo won. But
well, it was 08. We were hopeful. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my favorite. Here's my favorite. Matzo Ball, which is Adam Sandler's bulldog.
Yeah, that's nice.
I like that one too. Okay.
Hey, Matzo, get back in here. Stop shitting everywhere.
Choice video game. That's another one.
Choice video game.
Choice celebrity baby.
All right.
Choice celebrity dancer.
Okay, you're bringing me back in.
Some of these are hard to populate with enough people to make a choice.
Before choice. I think you are like a celebrity dance-a-thon. Can you do it? Yes, you can, or whatever.
Yeah.
Choice web star, which was won by Fred. Remember Fred?
Ooh. He had a whole Nickelodeon show.
He did, and several movies, which had John Cena in them. And the final category, and I'm sorry that we went down this road. Choice twit.
That's a person on Twitter?
Oh, you're probably right. I had no idea what that
was. Or did we call tweets a different thing back in the day?
I think you mean choice X.
Full stop. Or end whatever. Of thing.
Like I have no idea anymore, but still.
Ugh. Wow. That's so much.
That's odd.
So this is what happens, people, when we do 268 episodes and decide that My Life in Ruins is worthy of doing an episode on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Turns out it may not have been. Because I was not available to write. So
yeah,
you know, I had a blast. I'm glad we got to talk.
Oh sure. Yeah.
You can always just say, hey, guys, no.
No. That's not how
I think
Seth
needs the forcing function. If we waited another day, it would have ended the same, I think. Yeah.
That's true.
He's a late stage boy.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always write my plot.
Yeah. Right there at the end.
30 minutes before.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, let's read
this
piece of
shit.
This
time, I
just... A little bit. Felt different. Right, 21,000 votes.
That's
not
too
many.
Well,
it's too many and also not enough for what this movie could have been.
I mean,
and coming off of Greek Wedding.
Zach, remember how it tanked the entirety of the Greek sovereign states economy?
They may never financially recover from this. It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a 5.9.
Really?
High?
High.
A little high?
That's pretty high, yeah.
Yep.
I'll go first.
And then I got high.
Because You know, Afro Man, the police busted into his house, and it got recorded on his security cameras, and it was he was completely innocent.
Yep.
And then he just set the footage to music.
He made a song and then he has subsequently made a second song that I think is it's Help Me Fix My Door or something. he's doing a whole series of them. It's wild, and I'm here for it.
I love that.
I told y'all about the weird like dive bar I was in Minnesota where there was a guitar above the bar. And it was signed, and I thought, oh weird, I wonder who signed that. And then there was a picture next to it and it just said this guitar was signed by Afro Man. And I didn't know Afro Man was famous for playing guitar. Like,
he's not.
Definitely not.
It's just very weird. Random guitar signed by him
in the most random fuck bar.
I love that. That's great.
I've already committed to giving you a 10 because it's Raiders of the Lost Ark, so I'll do that.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know, like 3. I'll give this movie a 3.
Oh,
yeah, it seems right. OG, yeah, I'd go 3 as well. Again, it felt like there was a Big Fat Greek Wedding, a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, like the shape of a movie I would watch like dozens of times was here, but they did not succeed.
I know, right?
Yeah.
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 It was just
it sound like it could have been a banger, but
yeah.
Wait, Zach, did
Does Duty Kaka end up with the teen, the disaffected teen child?
We don't even really get into it.
Wait, what they is like? What does Michael Dukakis have to do with this?
Wouldn't have been all that weird if it was him.
He's gonna rock us.
Duty Kaka is the hot teen nephew.
I heard. I was making a joke about.
Yeah, they eye fuck each other, and then we never get back to that. I don't know what happened.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think that's fine.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be explicit.
It was a tight like.
We don't need like the sidebar of two teens losing their virginities.
But then they can do a Scooby-Doo hallway scene, and it'll be awful.
I was wondering where you're going with that. Yeah. Okay.
That would have been out of place.
What else could it have been?
I forgot that you referenced that earlier. Okay. That's why. Yeah. I was like, how is Scooby-Doo related to this?
I'm going 2.5, even lower. It was tragic.
Yeah,
That's fair.
Seth, your thing? I mean, you did crib Raiders real hard.
Did I?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you sure?
I'm no lawyer, but we'll get off the horn and figure it out.
Like that, yeah.
I don't know. Still an 8. Yeah,
hell yeah.
I liked your touches, and I would donate to the GoFundMe for Harren Williams' Mongolian barbecue, for sure.
It did get burned down by a bunch of fascists, so like,
yeah.
It's,
yeah, that's a real heartstrings kind of story. For
yeah,
sure.
All
right, so yeah, 269 damn looks fine. We are going to
make some magic.
Magic, yeah. Mike, the whole triumvirate. Of
and
those,
and my so. Title for it is the magic bike drop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. And ostensibly, Marielle will be joining
we
us.
We think Marielle is going to be on this episode.
Twitter Maven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once Maven. In the future. Yeah.
It's
fun because the whole thing. Yeah,
no
yeah.
shit. Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah. How about that? I got drunk and watched the most recent Magic Mike movie the other day, and I was like, hey. 269's coming up. We did Magic Mike.
Oh man, I haven't seen it yet. I really hope it's a picaresque.
No, it's not. Yeah,
well, thanks for ruining it for me already.
I told you that it's not just a series of adventures where the main character doesn't really learn anything.
Oh, but that's my
that's all I told you.
But Lee, that's my favorite thing.
I know it is because you bring it up all the time. Yeah.
Man.
It's true.
All right. True. Well, I guess Channing Tatum isn't going to learn anything. Or maybe he is.
He does.
He does
that's
a lot.
The whole point of the third movie.
Well, that's
and the first two.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He does learn things in every one of these movies.
Kind of the whole point. Yeah.
Also, wow, he is so good at dancing. We'll talk about this.
Dancing.
We'll
magical.
I'm sure
either.
We are.
You know, I'm
Kelly.
Torn as to whether he's
Rip-torn?
This generation's Gene You're Kelly not, or this generation's fucking
Patrick
the guy
Swayze.
Who played
Data.
Oh, that's pretty good.
This,
I wasn't even
this
thinking
this generation's Brent Spiner. Like what?
Why did you bring them up? Like, why did you bring up Brent Spiner? No. This is the end of the episode. Is me being mad about you just randomly bringing up Brent Spiner? There was no reason to bring up Brent Spiner. What the fuck?